Let me welcome to the podium Dan Price. He is he has the law office of Dan Price in San Antonio, and he helps with taxpayers with civil and criminal defensive IRS audits and investigations. He's definitely very well versed in the offshore voluntary disclosure, streamlined filing compliance, and other procedures, and served 19 years as at the Office of Chief Counsel of the Internal Revenue Service. Today, he is going to be helping us with penalty abatement strategies that work. Please join me in welcoming him.
Thank you very much, Christine. It's an honor to be here. As a UT alum, the UT Tax Conference is always a highlight. So as Christy mentioned, I spent almost 20 years with IRS Office of Chief Counsel, and for the last about 10 years of my tenure there, my practice really focused on international penalties. Now that I'm in private practice, I handle both domestic, international penalties. If there's a penalty involved, I'm jumping into that fray. So this presentation is based on some of my practical experience, both with the government and now in private practice. Just as an overview, major topics for this presentation, we'll discuss that penalties are an IRS priority, and I'll provide some data points to show that penalties are a major focus of the IRS and IRS operations. I'll briefly comment on the state of IRS penalty administration, and then we'll really get into the meat on strategies as practitioners to battle these penalties that the IRS will assess. The quote on the screen comes from the IRM. This is an IRM that discusses macro-level penalty policy. Now, if you have a penalty dispute, I encourage you to read this portion of the IRM, because we always want to argue the law, we want to argue the facts, but it's also nice to be able to point to IRS official policy and say, IRS, you need to abate or refund based on your own stated policy rationale. Especially within the Independent Office of Appeals, we're dealing with, in general, people that have some education, some background, and when we point out government hypocrisy, that may have at least a little bit of influence in structuring a final settlement. Penalty policy has two major factors. The IRS says it wants to encourage voluntary compliance, and penalties are a component in encouraging voluntary compliance, but it also wants to bring in revenue. Now, this slide comments on how we know penalties are a real IRS priority. Many of the key court decisions over the last year, think about Farhi, Bittner, Aroesti, they're focusing on penalties. That's where the litigation's occurring. IRS has been listing more transactions. Those listed transactions also yield penalties for the IRS, and of course, expands the statute of limitations. The priority guidance plan has on the IRS's guidance plan supervisory approval of penalty regulations as a current priority for the IRS to get those out, get those published. And we'll talk a little more about those proposed regs. And IRS practice includes huge systems of automatic penalty assessments. We'll talk more about what the IRS has done in terms of automated systems to generate revenue and assert penalties. The last bullet point comes from a TIGTA report. This is an interesting footnote. When we think about the IRS, it has different operating divisions. LB&I is one of the operating divisions with kind of a split personality. It audits the biggest corporate taxpayers, and it audits international individuals. This TIGTA report revealed something very interesting about the individual side of LB&I. Basically, LB&I's focus is on penalizing, arguably, middle-class taxpayers in their audits. The statistic from the report was really shocking. About 73% of these international exams of individuals were of taxpayers reporting less than $200,000 of total positive income. And LB&I admits the major focus of its audits are penalties.